kids need fathers, and without fathers, the likelihood that they will commit violent crimes and injure other people around them and end up in prison increases exponentially, almost as if God knew what he was talking about, huh? First thing that fathers do to provoke their children to wrath is simply not to be there.
You'll want to be sure to catch the rest of Pastor Terry's message in just a moment. But first, we want to say thanks for tuning in to the Indian Run Christian Church podcast with pastor and author Terry Bailey. This podcast can be found on iTunes by searching for Terry Bailey Ministries in the iTunes store, where you can also subscribe to the podcast and get the weekly message sent automatically to you by clicking the subscribe button. Right now, let's get back to Pastor Terry as he preaches this week's insightful message.
Fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath. So says the verse that we read this morning. My father is gone on to be with the Lord now, and there was a period of my life when he had strayed from the faith, did not go to church, did not read his Bible, much less read it with me or pray with me. And then there was that glorious time in my life when he came back to the faith. And it changed everything. But all of it taken together, I will say that at least as far as I can remember, I probably did more to provoke him to wrath than the other way around. And it was usually little things and unintentional. I remember a day we were building rabbit hutches. We raised rabbits for a little while on the farm. And at that moment, on this particular hutch, Dad was kind of creating by feel a sliding door for it, and he had split a 2x4 to make the outside rail for the sliding mechanism, and he was looking down it like this to see that it was true, because he didn't want there to be any waves that would interfere with the smooth action of the door to be placed there. And I can't tell you exactly how old I was, but I was considerably smaller than him, so he was looking down the board and I was looking up the board like this, and I thought to myself, you know, you can see that edge a lot better without all that sawdust on it. Into his eyes and his nose. And I will say this, he was holding a split 2x4 at the time, and I'm still alive, so there's that. I remember another time he got pretty upset at my younger brother for simply miscalculating an angle. It was not a math homework. It was not carpentry. We were loading some ear corn on the truck to take to the feed mill. Good old heavy, hard, dried ears of field corn. And Robert went to pitch one last ear that had laid on the ground, fell off someone's shovel, pitch it toward the truck, meaning to go over everybody's head, miscalculated slightly. Their contact was ear to ear. Hard, heavy, dry ear of corn, Dad's ear. He acted like it hurt. The more so because it was so completely unexpected, out of the blue. There was this time with the electric drill, but I've got to stop somewhere. So I'll leave that story for another time. when I look out in this room, I see people who are blessed. Amen. You are like me. At least I imagine most of you are. For all his faults, my dad was there for me. And yet I know the Bible does not speak to no effect ever. And when it says, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, it is addressing a real problem, not just wasting words. What is it that fathers do that provokes children to wrath? I think I talked about this some years ago when it was going on, but many years ago now in Kenya, Africa, there was a problem with roving teenage thugs. They were violent. They destroyed people's homes and their livelihoods. They killed indiscriminately and wantonly. They practiced sexual assault on females far, far too young. Not that it would be justified if they were older, but it adds to the nature of the offense. And no one was quite sure what to do about this problem until the game wardens figured it out. Because the thugs were elephants. Their favorite victims for violent death were the rhinoceri, whom they trampled and knelt on until their backs were broken, and then left them laying there dead. The homes that they destroyed belonged to people, and they seemed to do it just for the malicious glee of having done it. The females they preyed on were young elephants well before the time that they were ready for such interactions. None of it seemed to matter to them. But the game wardens figured out the problem. It was poaching. Poaching had decimated the ranks of the adult male elephants because they, after all, have the big tusks that the poaching was all about. And there were no adult males in the herds, and the young males ran amok. And they fixed the problem by importing big adult males from elsewhere and cracking down harder on the poaching. But when they got these big tuskers in there, they straightened up all the errant behavior. And they straightened it up fast. And the thing got a lot of news coverage because at the same time, Africa was experiencing in so many places the same problem with human beings. Because AIDS had decimated a generation of fathers. And it caught the world's attention because Europe was experiencing similar human problems. And America was experiencing similar human problems. And it sparked a wave of sociological research which came to this conclusion: kids need dads. It is a crying shame to live in a society where you have to be told that. Where you don't believe it until somebody with a white lab coat pronounces it. But kids need fathers. And without fathers, the likelihood that they will commit violent crimes and injure other people around them and end up in prison increases exponentially. Almost as if God knew what he was talking about, huh? First thing that fathers do to provoke their children to wrath is simply not to be there. and it is epidemic. And again, I know we are blessed in our experience, but within a 20-mile circle of where we sit right now, there are thousands of fathers who have never lived in the home with their children. And another thousand who once did, but don't now, live in the homes with their children. And we will all pay a price for this. Because kids need dads. Proverbs 27:8 says, like a bird that abandons the nest, so is a man who wanders from his home. Those are words that we need to take to heart. How many of you remember last year when we were meeting in the parking lot, that killdeer over here under the crabapple trees built her nest there in the rock, sat those eggs, and defied all comers. Cuss, I'm sure it was bird cussing at the deacons in their little hobo camp over there, shrieked at every car going by, and when people went to see her, they just couldn't believe it. They would walk up to the edge of the rock pile, they would be this far away, and she would be puffed up, just as big as she could get, and shouting at them, and she stood us all off for weeks. You know how much bigger than that bird we are? How easy it would have been just to step on her. But she never left that nest while we were present. And came the day those chicks hatched and she led them off to the cornfield and a new generation of killdeers survived. Like a bird that abandons the nest, so is a man who wanders from his home. If we had driven her from the nest, her brood had perished. Like a bird that abandons the nest, so is a man who wanders from his home. But it is also possible for dads to stay in the home and still provoke their children to wrath. There's a thousand ways to do it. Abuse, because hurt people hurt people. Neglect, a man who does not provide for his own is worse than an infidel, so says the word. Bad temper, one man's vile temper can reduce a whole house to fear and frustration. And this will bear bitter fruit. Being emotionally distant, being so invested in work, in recreation, in hobbies, that even though you do come home to go to bed, you never do that thing that the Diggles sang about, or 100 other important things. And there's a thousand ways to go wrong. And all of them will provoke children to wrath. Because when they don't know their father's love, when they don't feel the security of their father's protection, when they don't win their father's approval, something is missing. And everything goes wrong. Yes, a thousand ways to mess it up. Here's the good news. You don't have to study all 1,000 ways. I don't know if it's still quite as true as it was now in this digital age, but previously at least, there were people who studied to be able to detect counterfeit money. And what they studied and able to detect counterfeit money was real money. They studied real, authentic, genuine bills until they knew every facet of the genuines, and then any counterfeit was easy to spot. Lie is always easy to spot if you know the truth. Wrong is always easy to identify if you know the right. There's 100 ways to address a problem. None of them as good as preventing it in the first place. There's uncounted ways to do a thing wrong, and usually only one to do it right. It's funny how we can read a verse and we can end up in our head somehow disconnecting the two halves of it. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Those are not two separate thoughts. They're connected. Don't provoke your children to wrath. Instead, here's the fix, bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. We are all imperfect fathers, those of us who are fathers in this room today. Isn't that so? We are imperfect fathers. I will not get out the drum and ask for true confessions and all of that. Just raise your hand if you're an imperfect father. Okay, let's try this one. How many of you have prayed this little prayer? God, if you want to replace me, I understand. Because I've been there. But all of our imperfections, failings, and shortcomings can be overbalanced if we will do this one thing. Bring our children up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. Discipline, prayer, Bible reading, these are spiritual disciplines. Recognizing the hand of God in the creation around you, this is a spiritual discipline. If we bring our children up in these disciplines, it will overcome much that we would otherwise fail at. Instruction, teaching the simple truth. I loved Bill's meditation because he concentrated on the promises that God has made. This promise, this promise, this promise. These children are the things that God promises. These children are the values that God endorses. These. Right here, kids, this is the path that God lays out before us. And this will stand you in good stead all the days of your life if you know the truth of God. Bring them up in the discipline and in the instruction of the Lord. And not only will all of our failings be overbalanced, but we'll get better. Every hour that we as fathers spend studying the Scripture with our children, we become better fathers. Every minute that we as fathers spend praying with our children to our mutual Heavenly Father, we become better fathers. The hard stuff, every agonizing moment of the correction that we have to make to bring them back from the wrong way and put them on the path. Every midnight that we have spent beseeching our Father on behalf of our children makes us better fathers. It's good for them. But it's good for us too. And it's good for those who will come after us. I remind myself often that my children are my gift to a future I will not personally inhabit. Because I will be gone. I will go the way of all flesh. And that's okay, because I know where I'm going. Amen. Well, you guys are pretty lackluster about that. Because I know where I'm going. Amen. That's better. That's all right. But when I'm gone, there are still going to be people who need ministered to and helped and shown the truth. And I can work now so that my children will be there to help then. Bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. It's what they need. It's what they need most. But it's also good for you. And it will bear blessed fruit long after we are gone. To those our influence could never reach otherwise. Is it really? As crucial as I'm letting on, let's just do a reality check. And I tried to bone up this week on the most recent iterations of the statistics, and I won't share all the numbers, just let you know the bad news that this is still so. The problem of absentee fathers continues to increase. This is sad news that is still true. Another thing that continues to increase is the number of people who are religiously unaffiliated. Some of them are out-and-out atheists. Some of them believe in something, but they don't know exactly what, and they don't belong to any religious community, and they have not had any training, instruction, or discipline. They're just kind of out there on their own. When they fill out the government forms and it says religion, they check that box that says none. These things are true. There are more fatherless children than in years just past. And there are more religiously unaffiliated, untaught, undisciplined people than in years past. Now, first, I would say that there probably is a direct correlation between these two naked facts, that if fathers had been in place doing their job, that there would not be so many people so far from God. But second, I will say that there is another correlation we need to look at. How many of you would agree, And we could have agreed to this a decade ago, but how many of you agree that it's even worse now, that the world is becoming a more angry place? So terribly angry. Who could ever have imagined somebody getting out of their car and shooting another human being to death because they caused them to miss a green light? That doesn't happen unless there's already existing this terrible well overflowing with anger. Police departments and emergency rooms and officers of the court all continue to gear up for extra violence every time the temperature is predicted to exceed 90 degrees Fahrenheit. As though what? The discomfort of being a little too warm somehow transforms us into homicidal maniacs? How does this happen? Because there is already a vast reservoir filled with anger waiting to be tapped. Now, more fatherless children, less training, instruction, and discipline of the Lord. These things we know are increasing. And as they go up, the level of anger and wrath in the world comes with them. Again, just as though God knew what he was talking about when he said, "Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord." We are looking at generations that have been brought up in the discipline and instruction of Charles Darwin and Karl Marx. And we see what we're getting. And I have not even mentioned the recent phenomenon of cities on fire and autonomous zones and all of the riots, critical race theory, all of these things will increase the level of wrath in the world. And only one thing will bring it down. Bring them up in the discipline the instruction of the Lord. Now I realize I'm preaching to the choir. You're here. You got your kids here. That's great, but I want to impress this truth upon the dads who are present. Your job is indispensable. The world cannot do without you. And that is why you are so high on Satan's hit list. And why he strives to convince a society that you are unimportant and unneeded. And why he lays in front of you so many other options, things that you deserve, instead of the only thing that will make you happy and be good for all those around you. I just want you to understand why you are a target and how important is the work that you are doing. And if your dad is still with you, perhaps you should say thank you today. And if your dad is not, perhaps you should thank God for every gift he gave through that man. And all of us should remember, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. This is not perhaps an evangelistic sermon, and I don't know, maybe everyone here is saved, but maybe not. And maybe everyone here is content, but maybe not. Maybe there is some special need that you need to bring before. Maybe there is a change that needs to be made in your life and you need to make a public expression about it. Maybe something else. But we're going to extend a moment of invitation and I'll ask Doug and Christina to come back up. And I will ask all of you to stand and let God speak to your hearts.
We
want to take a moment to thank all of you, our faithful listeners, for setting aside time each week for the Indian Run Christian Church podcast. You can find out more about the church by visiting our website at www.christforeastcanton.com. That's www.christforeastcanton.com. On behalf of Pastor Terry and all the folks at Indian Run Christian Church, I pray God's blessing on you and your family.